same chapter we were in on last Sunday. 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. We're going to still deal with this issue that we dealt on yesterday, on last Sunday. And we'll be here until God tells me otherwise. And really, to my visitors, just know that I might not be talking to you, but if the shoe fits, you can wear it. You can wear it. It's universal, okay? But again, my evangelistic hat goes on, and what we're talking about in dealing with the issues that's plaguing the church, one, the body of Christ, and two, even at this house, the issue, this thing called sin, this thing that there is this plague in the house that we don't understand and we don't get because we think that we have arrived because you have learned how to quote certain scriptures. We think that we have arrived because we check that block to actually attend church, but there's a drought that's taking place. And what you must understand is that apostasy is real. And being an apostate is real. The truth of the matter is you could say that you love God and still be on your way to damnation. Simply because you have forgotten the reality of salvation and you have taken it for granted. Let's look here in this. We'll start right here in the 20th verse. Let me just bring you up to date. The children of Israel had begun to sin against God. God turned them over. He raised up a king of Syria and took them into captivity. And now we see in verse 20, it says, the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them. I'm reading from the Amplified version. This is an Amplified, so it's going to read totally different from the King James. But there are certain things here in this Amplified that I really want you to embrace and get. And then I'll give you the title. It says, the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hands of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drew and drove Israel away from following the Lord and made them sin, a great sin. Now, let me pause right here. Piggybacking on what Pastor Risa talked about leadership and understanding that we see here that this king that came up said that not only he drew them, but he drove them. And what we have to understand is that sometimes we will connect ourselves with a people that not only will draw you away from God, but they will drive you and force you to leave God. How do they force you? Because of a lifestyle. You can be forced into a lifestyle that pulls you away from serving God. You tracking with me? There are situations that you can find yourself in that you really don't want to be in, but because you have yielded your members over for so long, you're being driven to a lifestyle that you really know that is not right for you. But now watch this. Now I'm going to say this because I'm going to hit you between the eyes. But you lack the courage to do anything about it. And I said it before and I'll say it again, that it takes courage to live right because any coward can live wrong. And I submit to you that if you are here in this body, with the leadership that you have, Remember, I'm on the, my, I got my evangelistic hat on, right? If you're here in this body with the leadership that you have that's preaching truth, that's teaching truth, that's not compromising, and you still choose to live wrong and live your life in a reckless manner, then I submit to you that you are more of a coward than you are courageous. Because you would rather say yes to your vices, to say yes to your sins, to say yes to your habits, to say yes to your issues, then man up or woman up and be real with yourself and say, you know what? I need Jesus to deliver me. It's easier to make excuses as to why not as to why you will. You see, when you decide to do God's will, you don't need an excuse. You just need resolve. And I will resolve to live right. Because understand this, what you do today will not only impact you, but it will impact how your children's children worship God. The Lord rejected the descendants of Israel. And I'm jumping back up in verse 20. It says, the Lord rejected the descendants of Israel. Don't think for a moment just because you said Jesus come into my life that you cannot be rejected. Don't fool yourself into thinking that, now listen, I'm the one that I have a, there's a twofold thing. Yes, I do believe in eternal security. I do. I do believe in eternal security, but I do not believe in the eternal security that many people believe right now that they have embraced. Because eternal security does not give you carte blanche to sin. Eternal security does not mean that you can do whatever you want and still expect God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. What sense? That would be a lie, wouldn't it? It would be a lie for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, if you're not good, if you're not faithful, and if you're not a servant. And you cannot serve two masters. So because you cannot serve two masters, you will wear the garment looking like the garment of Christianity, but underneath your undergarments says sin all day. So now let's look here. So we see here, so God rejects. God will reject us. God will continue to love us. And understand this, love also punishes. Love also punishes. So don't just embrace the fact that you serve a loving God and a loving God will not hold you accountable. Every parent holds a child accountable for what they do. Let's go on. Verse 22, it says, for the Israelites walked in all the sins of Jeroboam that he committed. They departed from them. I mean, not from them. Verse 23, until the Lord removed Israel from his sight, as he had foretold by all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria to this day. Again, God removed Israel from his sight, and this is his chosen people. And he removes them from his sight. So don't think that you will stand in his presence, because if the Bible is going to be true, we know that sin cannot stand in his presence. Now, let me just say that, yes, we all make errors. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is true. We all have a sinful nature. This is true. We all are susceptible to sin on a daily basis. This is true. But if it is habitual, then you have already declared who your allegiance is aligned with. Verse 24 says, now watch this. It says, the king of Israel brought men from Babylon, Cathah, Avah, Hamath, and Seraphim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the Israelites. They possessed Samaria and dwelt in its cities. Now I need you to circle verse 25. It says, at the beginning of their dwelling there, they did not fear and revere the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So now, look what happens. So now, as a result of this sin, they fall into the hands of a ruthless ruler, and he brings in people from all over the place who had no reverence of God, and rightly so, because the children who inhabited the place had no reverence for God. So what he did was he just simply put in place in that area for people who did not reverence God. And after all, why should he care about putting people who serve God, because the people who say that they serve God did not reverence God? So the king says, what does it matter? And so right now, how do you witness to someone about your God that you will not serve either? How do you be a light to someone who has lost their way or who is lost when you yourself, your light has been dull? It's extremely difficult for you to be a witness to someone when you need witnessing too. This is why we have a challenge right now, and there's a drought. Now, okay, let me give you the title, because some of you are waiting for the title right now. And so let me just help you out, because you can't even get with it until you get a title. Because you know you got religion in your head. You can't get with it without a title. So let me just give you a title, okay? Let's drop down. Let me give you this. It says, so the king of Assyria was told the nations at the beginning of the dwelling there, they did not fear the Lord and revere, and the lions came, right? 26, so the king of Assyria was told, the nations you removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the manner in which the God of the land requires. The title is, have you forgotten the manner of worship God requires? Have you forgotten the manner of worship that God requires? All right, now you got the title. Have you forgotten the manner of worship that God requires? All right, so let's go here. So now we see that the issue here is that what's taking place in the church is that it's difficult to experience church growth when no one is evangelizing. Now, let's bring it down. This thing called fivefold. You have evangelists who don't evangelize. All right? I say to all of you, all you evangelists, I got two at least in the front row, go back and look up the definition of evangelizing. You got ministers who won't minister. I say to all the ministers, go and look up the definition of what it means to minister. You have elders, pastors who won't pastor. And we need to go back and look up the definition about pastoring and leading. And you've got deacons and deaconesses who won't do deacons or deaconesses' jobs. So as a result of that, the church is left to fend for itself. Did I tell you all I have my evangelistic hat on? The church is left to fend for itself. And so whenever you leave a person to fend for themselves, everything that they do is right in their own eyes. Because void of instruction, void of vision, then guess what? You make up your own as you go. You punt and you just go with it. So it's not about just simply holding a title and doing nothing about it. And I said this earlier before, it was a time when you were a minister, the whole essence to validate your title was about sharing the gospel and witnessing and building the kingdom of God. That's what it was about. But now, did I tell you I got my evangelistic hat on? Okay. But now, we have become so consumed with our own professions that we have forgotten about the call. Everyone has a profession. Everyone has obligations. And everyone has come to a place of being guilty of walking in the calling. So now you leave it to the few that's in the vineyard, and the scripture talks about the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And God gave me this thing. He says, is it really about the fact that the laborers are few, or is it the fact that they've quit on the job? And many of us, we have been called into the vineyard, but now the problem is we have quit on the job. So now you've got a few people carrying the load. Carrying the load. Now, what we have to understand is, as I look around the room, I've got to see a lot of beautiful people. And by the way, did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? And so now we have, and let me share with you a vision that God gave me when we first opened the church on Rebalt Road. A vision that God gave me when we first opened the church on Rebalt Road. And he reminded me of this again. And I saw two spirits. One spirit, and I've shared this before, and he constantly reminds me of this. Two spirits, one whose head was just shaking and all over the place and just crazy, just shaking. And that one represented just the double-minded spirit that was just plaguing the church and the issues and attacking. And then the other one, and I never forget this one because this one was so symbolic. It was just someone just sitting in the chair, just totally obese and just flat and just all over the place. And they were just sitting there and just everything out. And just chewing. Let me get over so y'all can see. Just chewing and fat and just all over the place and couldn't do anything. And then the Lord says, that's the spirit right there of just simply complacency. And they're just consuming and eating, but not doing anything of outreach, not doing anything to deposit and to share what they're getting. They're just receiving it, getting fat and happy and not doing anything, but just simply consuming. And so we've gotten into a place of a lazy ministry. Even though we are an outreach ministry, how do you begin be an outreach ministry and be lazy in ministry? And we become guilty of just being lazy. And so we've got people who just satisfy coming to eat but don't want to work for the food. Don't want to work for the food. Don't want to help to do anything in ministry. And we wonder why. This is why ministries die, because people burn out. Ministries don't just die because people sin. Ministries die because the people that's been holding it up break down and get wore out. And so you're left with nothing. Because those that would do, so it's not the fact that we don't have enough laborers. It's the fact that the reality is that you've got lazy people that don't want to work. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? So now you've got people who could usher that won't usher, and so you leave it to the people that usher every single day and get tired of standing on their feet. You got people who could do the nursery that won't do nursery, so you got those, the only ones, the few that's in there, get tired of changing your baby diapers. Because they don't get a fresh word and a fresh meal all the time. They got to go home with hopefully, if they can get a CD or if they can catch it on the internet or the web. So they get stuck with that one. And so now they begin to fall off. So now you have no nursery. Then you've got children's church, who people don't want to do children's church. Now, not everyone can do children's church, but those that are qualified won't do children's church. And so now you've got the people that's faithful that have to stay in there, the same thing. They don't get a fresh word. And, you know, we run over sometimes. And so they get stuck over there with your children, and they, you know, they get on your nerves. That's why you sent them to children's church. So now your child gets on your nerve, and your child gets on your nerves, and your child gets on your nerves. So you send your child to children's church. You send your child to children's church. So now you got five kids who are nerve-wracking, dealing with one or two people who also have to deal with other people who really want to be a part of kids' church, but they can't really get anything because they got to keep telling Johnny and Susie to stop climbing over things. So now they get tired and they don't want to be a part. Then you've got people who say, I can now, let's. Then you got other people who say, you know what, I need my young people. I need the youth, and I love the youth, and I love the youth. What's your heart? My heart is for the young people. But yet you don't want to help with the youth ministry. So now you've got our youth pastors and youth ministries that's burning out. Because why? Because they even try to get your parents to try to help the youth people, and you all don't want to do it because it sounds real good at the time, but after you get a commitment that you got to do something, you say, well, I got to work. I got to do something. Guess what? The same people you saying that got to work, they working too. So then they're tired and they getting burnt out. So here we go again. So now you got this vicious cycle. Now you're going to wonder what's going to happen if we shut down the youth ministry because no activity and no one wants to be a part. And guess what? You don't even bring your kids. Here's a secret. Youth pastors need children to lead and to minister to. But you at home with your kids because you tired and you don't want to bring them to church, so you feed them Hamburger Helper, and it's disgusting. And so now you wonder why, what is going on with your child, and why. So when you decide to get that little bug that you want to go to church, you wonder why they so jacked up and don't want to behave themselves in church, because it's not fostered inside of them. They don't have the love and the passion and the heart. And if that's the case, then not only the problem is that the reality is now is that here's another part of the challenge. They do come to youth ministry, but guess what? Because they're there, and because, understand this, here's a secret that I got to tell you. Lean forward again. Your kids are not stupid. They know when you're not living right. And so why are they going to waste their time hearing about everyone when mommy and daddy are hypocrites? And so now they're looking for true leadership and true people. But understand this. Don't fool yourself that kids know when you stop coming to church. Where's so-and-so? I ain't seen so-and-so in a while. I haven't seen them in a while. They're not stupid. They know exactly why you haven't been coming to church. And they know exactly why, or you come and you're not doing what you used to do. And you're coming on a regular basis, but you're not engaged in anything that you used to be. Don't fool yourself into thinking that they don't know what's going on and why you're not doing what you should be doing. So now you got the youth not wanting to come to church because now the people that they see who's supposed to be leading them now are walking in a double standard of compromising. So now what does that leave them to do? Pastor Teresa, I had this thought today while I was at 8 o'clock service. Lady Smart, I had this thought today. I wish Pastor Joshua was here. I had to ask the question, why is it that I see some people that just faithfully come to the 8 o'clock service and don't come to the 11 o'clock service? And one thought is, well, they enjoy the 8 a.m. service because it's convenient for them, which is good. Here's another thought, because they don't want to see our faces. because they don't want to see our faces or hear our words and our message because they don't want to be put on the spot with the questions, are you living right? Or they don't want to hear a sermon that's going to convict them. So now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Pastor Joshua doesn't preach a good message, but understand it's something about being in the presence of mommy and daddy that when you know you're not right, you just try to hide out from them. And so you got some people that's trying to hide out that don't want to be a part. Young people, let me help you out because I gave Pastor, I elevated you. I gave Minister Preston and Sister Keisha permission to tell the youth, listen, challenge those parents. Tell your kids to go challenge mommy and daddy and ask them the question, mommy and daddy, why are you not living right? Why are you making us go to church when you don't want to do the right thing? Why are you exposing us to your hypocrisy? You stay in a child's place. I am in a child's place. A child shall lead them. And so because you don't want to be the leader, I have been anointed by God because God says, suffer the little children not to come unto me. So now I've got to be the one to be the spiritual leader in the household because I have parents that have dropped the ball. And yes, they may get slapped in their mouth, and they may get punished, and they may go on timeout. But you know what? It may be worth it to be able to tell mommy and daddy that, listen, you're wrong. And why are you exposing me to your wrong lifestyle? Maybe they just may come back to God. Mommy, daddy, I don't want to go to heaven without you. What would happen if your child said that to you? And right now, you on your way to hell. And so what we have to understand is that when we begin to start empowering the youth, and the other thing, I said, you know what? I had this conversation. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on today? I had this a conversation with Sister Tammy. I said, hey, listen, Sister Tammy, thank you. Listen, I said, you know what? We do want to look at building up the musicians. I said, we got to find some musicians because the youth that we have today that we were used to build up and raise up to be musicians like DJ and Ozzy and everything, we don't have anymore because the parents are not giving them the opportunity to be a part of ministry. And so we're missing that. And so we don't compel our youth to get involved. Thank you, young lad. Thank you. The sound booth is doing great. We got them. But guess what? They're all still the same age. These are all high schoolers. But now, where are the elementary, where are the middle school children that we begin to raise up to learn ministry? It's out, it's void now because why? The parents don't care. Because we have gotten to a place that we are so selfish and it's all about you. Let's move on. So now we see that the Bible here says that these people that came in and God was so upset with them that he sent lions to destroy them. What's destroying you? Because the reality is that you are in a place where you know how to worship, you know how to serve God, but you refuse to serve God. And shame on you. So we have people that could be youth leaders that don't want to lead and don't want to be a part of the youth department, and then they wonder why the youth are going astray. We have people that could usher that don't usher. We have people that do nursery that don't do nursery. We even have people that can do music and be musicians, but they don't want to be musicians in the house. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? So we see needs, but we don't want to feel the need because it's all about you. I just wonder what would happen if Pastor Teresa and Apostle Randy went on strike the way you go on strike. What if we sat down? I know y'all need a preacher, but you know what? I'm just tired. I know y'all need counsel, but you know what? I'm just tired. How you doing? I'm tired. Shut up. I'm just so tired. Oh, please, stop. You got one thing to do. You get a paycheck for yours. You tired. So we got all these people. We have people who have accounting experience and can help, but yet you don't want to help. You sit at home and watch All My Children. My goodness, that soap opera has been around since I was a baby. Thank you. Half of them definitely should be ready to just die off by now. But listen, but we got all of this, and so we just sit at home and do nothing instead of doing something for the kingdom of God because you think that it's gonna take care of itself. When are we gonna get to a place where we all get engaged? And I said it before on Facebook, imagine what would happen if every person in the body of Christ picked up their shield and picked up their sword, laid aside their sins, and began to get back into the fight and get engaged and be excited about serving God. Imagine what will happen. Imagine how strong even this ministry would be. You know, the problem is that we don't do outreach anymore. We used to have the event, the invite cards and the visitors, and we used to have the challenge where you could win a prize for inviting the most people every month. We still have it in place, but guess what? When's the last time somebody actually won it? It's been months, and the whole reason why it's been months is because we don't evangelize anymore. We don't share. We don't invite. As much as we do in ministry, there's no reason why we should be busting out at the seams, but the whole reason is because if headship doesn't do it, it does not get done. When I was a minister, I wouldn't say frustrate my pastors, but I used to frustrate the membership because I would do crazy stuff. And I was in this traditional church, and I would do crazy stuff, and I would invite people to church, and they said, well, I don't have any clothes. Whatever you're wearing, I'm wearing. So they came in T-shirts and shorts. I came in T-shirts and shorts. Whatever it is, I said, whatever you're going to do, I'm going to do, and let's go. Come on, we're going to go, and I'm going to come and pick you up. And guess what? We even in a time now that we don't pick people up for church. We just assume that they're going to just drive in themselves. But if you had your network marketing business, they teach you, you don't wait for your prospect to come to the meeting. You go pick up your prospect and bring them to the meeting. Because they have the potential to be a great downline. And I can get residual income from them. So I need to get them to the meeting. If I can get them to the meeting, I can close the deal. You are all salesmen trained by the great salesman called Jesus Christ. He was the greatest salesman there was because he sold the world about the need of a savior. And guess what? And he delivered. And so what we have right now, we have the ability to let people know that, listen, let me just tell you about someone who can save anyone. But oh, by the way, but only way that's going to work is that you must get right yourself. It's not about membership. It has always been and will always be about relationship. You must have a personal relationship with God. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? That understand this, I have just made up in my mind that right now I am so sick and so tired of so many people in this house blatantly sinning and don't care that they're sinning. And as if we who want to be righteous are bad because we want to correct them.
So now we have gotten to a place where we call good evil and evil good. And you don't realize that you are straying away and you are falling in the perfect example of what the Bible talks about in the last days. And you're guilty, and then you're going to want grace later. Then you're going to want mercy later. And I'm sadly to say that the only thing that you're going to get is judgment. What good is it for me to preach message that inspires you and motivates you to hold on and that you can make it and that God loves you and God cares and God can break every yoke and destroy every chain and that God can is the deliverer? What good is it for me? And I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to preach messages that's going to inspire you if you don't want to live right. I'm just going to preach messages about sin until you get so tired, until you leave the church because you're tired of me talking about sin. But guess what? If you get tired of me talking about sin, live right. Because this is what I know. When a church begins to serve and to seek the heartbeat of God, a church will grow because the Holy Spirit can be edified and elevated in it. Because if we are a church that's full of sin, guess what? We stagnate and we bind the hand of the Holy Spirit from doing anything great in our ministry. Forget about the awards. Forget about the trophies, because I would give them all up. I would give the bowling center up. We would give everything up away if that's the reason why you have decided to stray away from God, because we have gotten too distracted doing other things. Then guess what? We will give it up for the sake of the gospel so that you can return back to the Father. Because we love you so much that we don't want to see you die in your sins, claiming that you go to Love House Ministries. Forget the title of apostle. Cash it all in. Cash my chips in. Take me back to minister. If that's going to be what is required for you to say, God, for God I live and for God I die, God, I'm going to love you and serve you with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. To get to this place again where you can be a place that you can worship God. In closing, the various outreaches of this ministry is going through some financial, don't leave yet, going through some financial challenges. Because people have just gotten so comfortable with living their own lives that they forgot about taking care of the house of God. And I had this temptation come my way this week. I'll say it because I'm not ashamed of it. I was bold enough to speak it then. I'll be bold enough to say it. I had the Masons come to me that says, hey, listen, we do these outreaches and we go to different places and we want to, and we typically raise funds and we bring an offering. And we want to come and visit your church, and we want to come this Sunday and we want to come and visit your church, and we're going to be a blessing and leave an offering with you. And I says, well, thank you for thinking about us. I says, but I have to tell you that I don't subscribe and believe in support that organization. I actually preach and teach contrary to what you believe and support. And I said, but you're welcome to come, but I just want to be very upfront with you right now to let you know that I don't support and have an appreciation for what you do in your organization. But if you still want to come, you're more than welcome to come. But I understand that when they come, they're coming with their whole outfit. And they're going to come and understand this. And even if they don't come with their outfit, because whenever you give the opportunity to receive money from somewhere, you give them the opportunity to have a voice and to speak. And so, for me, keep your money. Because my God will supply all my needs. And so I'm not willing to compromise and move my standards for the sake, regardless of what we may be going through from a financial standpoint. Understand this, God, this is your house. And I refuse to allow anyone that contradicts your word and your scripture to be able to have a voice across this pulpit to your people. So if the lights go out, let the lights go out. If the bills don't get paid, let the bills let them foreclose. If everything, we can't spend a dime anymore of keeping everything up at the bowling center, then God will sell it. And I told you all before we allow anything to happen, we'll sell it before we go down. But one thing I will tell you this is that compromise will not take place in the pulpit. This right here, there will be no compromise. Whatever you decide to do about your own personal life, you can compromise all day long. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Minister, get on point and be that elder and that minister to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and let everyone know that there is a standard. If you're going to be a deacon or a deaconess, then guess what? Get on your job and be that person that people can do to help build the house of God and take care of the house. No more lazy ministers, no more lazy evangelists, no more lazy deacons, no more lazy ushers, no more lazy choir directors, no more lazy psalmist, no more lazy musicians. Get on your job and do what God has called you to do so we all can come up together. And if you're not doing anything, stop being lazy and do something, because I promise you, you can do something. Let me look at all of your faces and tell you that you can do something. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your profession is. You can do something for the kingdom of God. You can do something. You can do something. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Find something to do. If it doesn't work, find something else to do. If you're living in sin, stop it. Just that, stop it. Get right. We'll help you get right. But we can't make you get right. You got to do that all your own. Let me put out this disclaimer. Come back next Sunday, you hear the same message. So now I'm going to let you know. Next Sunday, we're going to be preaching on sin again. So if you want to go find you another church for next Sunday and come back when we stop, do so. But when you come back, we'll be preaching the same thing again. Because this is what I know. Righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is a reproach to all people. Stand on your feet. We're going to be doing a communion soon, but don't leave yet for communion. We're going to be doing communion soon, but guess what? Before you decide to take communion, make a decision right now where you're standing. Ask yourself the question. Look yourself in the mirror. And ask yourself the question, am I living right? seriously and be honest with yourself. Am I living right? Don't come up to this altar just for ritual. No altar today. Stay right there in your seats and ask yourself the question, am I living right? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You've been coming here hearing my voice on a regular basis, with the exception of my visitors. You've been coming here hearing my voice or hearing Pastor Teresa's voice on a regular basis. And you still have not changed? Shame on you. I know the word has been true. If you still have not changed, then guess what? You are a stiff-necked person, and your heart is hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't run the risk of being a reprobate in the house. I'm not going to go through the rituals of telling you to say this certain prayer and the Lord will forgive you. Talk to the Holy Spirit for yourself. Talk to God for yourself. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? The first ministry that a parent has is to his own house. First ministry that a father has is to his own house. The first ministry that a husband has is to his own house. You are my first ministry. So I give you all an assignment. Look around this room and find the people who's not here. And then ask them the question, are you living right? And if their answer is no, ask them, what are you going to do about it? Out of the way, for all those that are over the various teams, give those team leaders the challenge to ask them the questions of those members in their team. Are you living right? And what are you going to do about it? Mr. Preston, for your youth department, give your youth the challenge to ask their parents, mom and dad, are you living right? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? Children that's here right now, when you go home, ask your parents, are you living right? And if not, what are you going to do about it? Parents, ask your child, are you living right? If not, what are you going to do about it? Before you ask that question, do something about yourself. Parents, you should be afraid to sin in front of your kids. Not only afraid to sin in front of your kids, but you should be embarrassed to sin in front of your kids. How do you teach them to honor you while teaching them not dishonor God? What a hypocrite you are. What a fake and a fraud you are. What a phony you are. They should be the barometer to keep you on point. I choose not to sin, one, because I love God, and the second one, I choose not to sin because I don't want to embarrass my children. My children look up to me. I think. They look up to me. And I am afraid to let them down. I am afraid of, I don't know what I would do with myself if I disappoint them that way. You need to take a page from my book. Bring the communion. Before you take this communion, evaluate yourself. Make a change. Do something different today. Do something different today. This local body that you're in needs you. The master has need of you. I have need of you. Pastor Teresa has need of you. This community has need of you. Pick back up your sword and pick back up your shield. Get back in the fight. What great thing are you saving yourself for? You're not getting any younger. You're getting old. Your beauty is fading. Your health is fading. Your limbs are fading. Arthur is at your heels. That's arthritis. You don't remember the things you used to remember. Your mind is not as sharp as it used to be. You wake up sometimes and you just ache and you're tired and you're worn out. But guess what? Understand this, but you still have breath. You still have life. Can you give God some of those years? You're now in the hands of the ushers. As you receive the body that was broken for you and the blood that was shed for you. Don't take it unworthily, but understand this. He did it for you. He did it for your sins. But he did it for you to be restored. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get to know him. Get to know him today. No excuses. If you're in sin, get out. If that means that you will be homeless instead of shacking, make a decision. If that means that you'll lose your job because the job that you're in is making you compromise. Unemployment checks still exist. You need another job because the job you have compromises? Walmart is hiring. Not for a fruit produce inspector, though, but they hiring. I tried to get that job. Bowling Center is hiring. The Marine Corps is hiring. The Navy is hiring. Army, Air Force. Do something to make a change in your life. Soon, we're going to be worshiping God in our giving. We're going to bring back out the pledge books. I'm going to ask those that have made a pledge to be prepared to pay on their pledge. And for those that have not made a pledge, to please consider helping to support building the outreach that we have. What if we had just one member of the church on a regular basis that came to the bowling center on a Friday and a Saturday, and the only thing their job was to do was just pass out tracts? Just worked as a Walmart gives you a happy face sticker when you come through the doors? What if they came in, the only thing that they did was just say, hey, happy, welcome to Community Bowling Center, Love House Ministry, we're so happy that you're here, and you just pass out a track and invited them to the church. He that win the souls is wise. Didn't take a whole lot of people. You can even rotate that position. Your whole job is just strictly to evangelize. What if you got your opinions together and somebody walked in and says, hey, listen, I just want to pay for your bowling experience today. And I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Here's an invite to our church. You wait for the church to do everything. What if you just decide, you know what? All right, here's my money. Half of you don't pay tithes anyway. You give it to television. What if you just decide not to give it to the television evangelist and you just decided, hey, I'm just going to pay for somebody's laser tag. I'm just going to pay for somebody bowling. And here's an invite. What if somebody else just stood outside the laundromat in teams and you said, listen, I just want to pay for your laundry today. Here's a gospel track and invite you to Love House Ministries. What if somebody else as a team stood outside KFC or Bojangles or House of Tang and someone said, listen, go to Corral. Now, that's a big commitment because it's going to cost you $50 just to pay for somebody's meal there. But what if you just said, listen, I just want to pay for your meal for you and your family and just invite you to our Love House Ministries and let you know that God loves you and we're praying for you. You see, as a minister growing up in ministry, I didn't wait for the church to tell me what to do. I allowed the Holy Spirit to teach me what to do. And I did it out of my own pocket. What if every minister and every evangelist and everyone just decided, you know what, I'm going to really get outside of these walls and do something about soul winning. This is personal. Did I tell you I have my evangelistic hat on? For all of you that have a title right now, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Not that the Lord used you to win them to Christ. Just when was the last time you actually shared the gospel with someone on purpose? Or are you so consumed by trying to see what you can get? The gospel is not a hustle. It's a lifestyle.